Welcome to the In Touch podcast with Charles Stanley for Wednesday, January 29th. Hostility seems to be increasing everywhere. But what should you do when it's your faith that triggers aggression? Today, we discover what the Bible teaches about responding when we are persecuted.
None of us really like conflict very much, or we don't like persecution for sure. But in the world in which you and I live, if you and I live a godly life, we are going to face conflict, and we are going to face persecution. It may be persecution on your job, and I hear this all the time, a persecution at home, a persecution in your schooling, among your peers, but it's there. And those people who sort of go through life and never have any enemies and everybody just loves them to death and never ruffle into waters, here's what God says. And I want you to turn, if you will, to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Because 2 Timothy chapter 3 is a warning, and no one is more of authority on how to deal with persecution than the Apostle Paul. So he says in this third chapter of 2 Timothy, beginning in verse 10, Paul said to Timothy, he said, "Now, but you followed my teaching, my conduct, my purpose, my faith, my patience, my love, my perseverance, my persecutions and sufferings, such as happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me." He said, now, you have followed me, you have watched me, and he says, I'm sure, I hope you've learned some things. And indeed, he says, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. He said, I don't like persecution. Well, I'm sure Paul didn't either. But the truth is, if you and I live a godly life, I didn't say if you're a church member, or if you just want to be sort of a nice kind of a Christian, whatever that is, but he says, if you live godly in Christ Jesus, you can expect conflict and persecution in your life. Because you and I are living in a world system in which there are two opposing forces, godliness and wickedness. And you and I see the results of that all around us, and the evil and the crime and the violence and bloodshed that goes on. He says, if you live godly in Christ Jesus, you're going to suffer persecution. So what I'd like to do is I would like to just share with you about five principles that are absolutely essential if you're going to face conflict and persecution, whether it's by one person or by a whole group of people, because I know these things work. The first thing I learned when I'd get in the prayer room and I'd think, God, I felt so desperate and so all alone oftentimes. It's like the Lord said now, you view everything that happens to you as coming from me. If you will view everything as coming from me, this will protect you from being bitter, resentful, hostile, angry. It will prevent you from wanting to take revenge or be vengeful in any way. You see every single possible thing coming from me. No matter who it is, if it's people whom you have great faith in, that you've loved dearly, and they've deceived you or have turned against you, you see them as my instruments to work in your life. Because I have something bigger in mind than they think, and that they are not in control, I'm in control. God says, I'm in control. All I want you to do is to see every single thing, everything coming from me, and everything that looks like an enemy, he says, I want you to see it as an instrument of mine. Remembering what I said, I am engineering all your circumstances for my glory and your good. Now, you're going to have to trust me. And I think this is the first time in my life that the Lord really impressed upon my heart these three words, just trust me. So the first principle I want to share with you is this, and that is, view everything that comes to you as coming from God. Now, the second thing is this, and that is to keep your focus on the Lord. Now, you say, well, I've heard you say that 1,000 times, because it's that important. You've got to keep your focus on the Lord. Now, the reason I say that is because if you don't, you're going to react. If I keep my focus on the Lord, then I'm not looking around me and I'm not listening to all the stuff. I want you to go back to Isaiah 41. You remember what he cautions us here when we're afraid and we're being persecuted and we see ourselves outnumbered or really being harassed by people or situations. Listen, if you will, to verse 10 of Isaiah 41. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you. That is our greatest temptation when we are persecuted or we have enemies or we have opposition, and that is to look around us. Now, what happens is this. When you look around you, Satan will blow up and exalt and amplify everything that looks like it is opposition. He wants you to think it's worse than it is. And so God doesn't want us looking around at our opposition. He wants us to look at Him, to keep our focus on Him. He says in this passage specifically, do not anxiously look about you. Now, why did He say anxiously? Because He knows that looking about us and listening to the voices of our enemies, it's going to make us anxious. And anxiety is fear. It's very important you learn to focus your attention, rivet your mind on God, and not anxiously look about you, or you will become fearful if you begin to anxiously look about you. For example, David so oftentimes when he was talking about his own life, he talked about the Lord being his strength, and his mind was set on God. And when he went to fight Goliath, what do you think he's thinking about? He wasn't sizing up Goliath. He wasn't. If you look at his speech, his whole speech is about God. The God of Israel, the God of Jehovah, the God of this earth, defending the name of God. He wasn't focusing on Goliath until the moment when he ran toward him with the right stones. The third thing I would say, the third very important principle, is to rely upon the strength of God. Now listen carefully. When there is conflict, warfare, and persecution, there is a natural drain on your physical, emotional, spiritual energy. It is natural because it is something that is going on all the time. You wake up thinking about it. You go to bed thinking about it. During the day, you're thinking about it. And I remember oftentimes studying. It's like Satan would just harass me with the possibilities of what would happen in the future and all these things. But then I began to realize that's why pastors run. They run out of strength. When you go through the book of Psalms, 57 times in the book of Psalms, the word strength is used. And David, of all people, understood what it meant to rely upon the strength of Almighty God. Now, I want you to go back and let's start, if you will, in Psalm 18. I want you to turn to Psalm 18. Then I want to tell you something that I want you to ever forget. Psalm 18. Your enemies are looking for the first little sign of fear in your heart. And friend, when they see that, they will come after you like a herd of cattle on a run. All they're looking for is the first sign of fear. They know you have weaknesses because all of us do. They're looking for fear. I want you to look at these verses, beginning, and I'm going to take you through a number of them. In the 39th verse of the 18th Psalm, David said, "For thou hast girded, dressed me with strength for battle." God, you've dressed me up with strength for battle. How did he get dressed? Focusing upon God, relying upon his Father, looking to him as his strength. Turn to the 28th chapter. I'm going to take you through a number here. 28th chapter and verse 7 and 8. He says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield." Listen, he's not only our strength, but he's our protector. He's the one who shields us from the volleys of the arrows of the enemy. My heart trusts in him, and I'm helped. Therefore, my heart exults, and with my song I shall thank him. The Lord is their strength, and he is a saving defense to his anointed. God is our strength and our defense. Now, I want you to turn to a verse of Scripture. In Psalm 31, a very important principle here. David is talking about his physical body, but I want you to listen because I want you to notice something here. He says in verse 9, "Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I'm in distress. My eye is wasted away from grief, my soul and my body also, for my life is spent with sorrow." And David certainly had a life of sorrow. "And my years with sighing." And listen to this. "My strength has failed because of my iniquity, and my body has wasted away." Now, what I want us to notice here, he says, "My strength has failed because of my iniquity." God has promised to be your strength and my strength in any situation, in every situation. He says, a tower of strength. But here's what sin will do. Sin will cause you to doubt God's strength in your life. You may be absolutely dead right in what you're standing for. You may be absolutely perfectly correct. But the reason we have to walk obediently before God is because sin tampers with our faith. And tampering with our faith tampers with our assurance and confidence of the strength that God's going to give us. And so that's why when you and I are going through difficulty and hardship, we need to walk in obedience to Him, or Satan will harass you. God's not going to do this. He's not going to strengthen you. He's not going to protect you. And what happens is, if you look within and say, well, I have been disobedient to God, what happens is Satan will have a heyday in your life. Even though God is going to strengthen you and God is going to see you through it, it may be that in a moment of temptation or trial, you said or did something you should not and you failed God. That doesn't mean that He's not going to give you a victory. But here's what it means. It means that you are going to suffer the loss and the feeling of failure and the fear, and this is where the enemy will get you. If they sense fear in you, they attack. And so that's why David said, you know, the Lord is his strength. And he said in this verse, he says, my iniquity has made me weak. And whereas sin will weaken our physical bodies and weaken us emotionally, most of all, it weakens us spiritually. And you don't want to be weak when you're facing the enemy. God is our strength. And even though He is our strength, something happens in our thinking and our emotions, and we begin to feel or sense or experience fear, even though the strength of God is there, we will sense fear and Satan will take advantage of that. So when we think about these principles and we think about the fact of relying upon Him as our strength, that is absolutely essential. Listen, because it is a natural, normal drain upon you when you're being persecuted or you're in conflict. Fourth principle. Fourth principle is this, is to realize that you're fighting a spiritual battle. Now the question comes, how do I know it's a spiritual battle or not? Here's how you can know. Does this battle have any effect upon the work of God, whether it's your own personal testimony or your church or whatever it may be? Does this battle, does this persecution, this strife, this conflict, does it have any relationship to the work of God? Well, when people attack their pastors and churches and so forth, they think, well, we're just doing this and we're going to save our church. It is spiritual warfare. And what you have to ask is, when you come to being attacked in some situation, you know, in your job or in your schooling or whoever your enemies may be, you have to ask yourself several questions. Number one, am I in God's place? Are you serving? Are you in your vocation? Are you where you ought to be? That's the first question. Am I in God's place? Secondly, you have to ask yourself this question. Is my stand scriptural? Is this an opinion I have? Is this just my lifestyle? Is this just something I like? Is this a prejudice of mine? Or is this a scriptural stand I'm taking? And that is a very, very basic question. Thirdly, what is at stake if I leave or if I stay? What is at stake if I win or if I lose? And if it's a spiritual battle, there's a great deal at stake because of your influence and your witness to other people. The fourth question is, how will other people be affected if I win or lose this battle? Or how I respond in this persecution? Because you see, sometimes winning isn't running somebody else away. Winning is being able to endure it and suffer it and keep moving without defending yourself or blasting someone else or taking out vengeance on someone else. Winning oftentimes is just standing firm silently when it's necessary, and the testimony and the witness of God is strengthened. And what you have to ask is this, am I going to be glorified in this, or is God going to be glorified? Now, some people always give you the credit, but you and I both know whether it is God who's being glorified or it is something that we want glory for. So recognizing that we are fighting a spiritual battle. And of course, you know Ephesians 6. He says, be strong in the Lord. Put on the whole armor of God that you and I may be able to stand. And He didn't say launch an attack on your enemies. He said stand. God is our fighter. He is the one who does the battling. And so we have to be careful that we don't try to manipulate circumstances. Then, when I think about how that works in a person's life, I think about how we feel, and my feeling has always been, and my conviction has been, if I am in God's place, you don't give up no matter what. It doesn't make any difference how dark it looks, how absolutely futile it looks. Never never, never give up. If you're in God's place, doing what God has called you to do, standing upon the truth, then you should never give up. Now, you know, when back in the olden days before we had radar and all kinds of communications, when those sailors sailed out on those ships that today we would think would never make it anywhere, they run into all kinds of storms because they had no way of warning. Here's what they would do when it was a real bad storm. They would take rope and lash themselves to the mast of the boat. So when the storm hit and the waves hit and washed them all around them, they wouldn't be washed overboard. And so when the storm's really bad, they just lash themselves to the mast. Well, I believe that's a perfect example of what God wants us to do when we're in the battle. And that is, we are to be with such in such oneness with Him, to lash ourselves to God Himself until the storm subsides. So when you and I think about storms we go through and persecution, all the rest, it is a spiritual battle, but we never have to walk through a single one of them by ourselves. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Last principle, expect to be victorious. Satan will harass you, tell you there's no way in the world for you to win, that you're going to crumble under this weight, that you're going to be harassed, that you're going to be ridiculed, you're going to be thrown out, you're going to be this, you're going to be that, you're going to be the other. He'll just work you over something terribly. Expect to be victorious. So I can expect to win every battle because not of our strength, our wisdom, our knowledge, our know-how, our expense, none of that, because God is sovereign. And because He's sovereign, He has absolutely every single thing in perfect control. And whatever He allows, He is going to turn it for your good and mine. But if you believe, now think about it, if you believe that you are the victim of people and circumstances, then what you're saying is that people have more control of your life than God does. I'm here to tell you right now, I wouldn't preach 5 minutes if that were true. Because where does that leave God? Where does it leave the believer? If we're the victims of this and the victims of that and the victims of the other. God allows some things in life I don't understand, some things I don't like maybe, or things that I wouldn't allow if I were God. But you know what? When Paul said, we are more than conquerors, what that means is that when you and I come out of the battle, we have more than we had when we went in the battle. We have a greater view of God, greater understanding of Him, a greater understanding of His grace. We understand the omnipotence of God. We understand the ways of God. We begin to understand that He's sovereign. And no matter what anybody says, does, thinks, or how they act, no one can tamper with absoluteness in power, absoluteness in wisdom, absoluteness in knowledge and understanding. God is absolutely sovereign over every single solitary thing. Now listen, when you come to that conclusion and you really and truly believe that, you know what happens? You get absolutely free. You know why? If you believe He's sovereign, you've committed yourself to Him. What do you have to worry about? Nothing can touch except what He allows. Your responsibility and mine is to obey God, not to manipulate my circumstances or run or hurt. That's not our responsibility. Our responsibility is to obey God and trust in this wonderful, loving, sovereign Father to take care of us. If you lay those five principles in your mind and your heart, every time you get challenged, if you'll abide by them, you will win every single time.
Thank you for listening to When We Are Persecuted. If you'd like to know more about Charles Stanley or InTouch Ministries, stop by intouch.org. This podcast is a presentation of InTouch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia.